786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
Hello, my name is Janice Codling and I work for Profile Investigations. And here at Profile, for the month of February, we are spotlighting Black History Month. I personally wrote a poem talking about what Black history means to me, and I hope that you enjoy it. The title of the poem is exactly what it says, What Black History Means to Me. And it goes like this. It's like taking a trip down memory lane, when things probably look so dark and seem so lame. It was people of color just like me who suffered from defeat, working so hard in the sun on their black skin the sun would beat. And it felt like our freedom was so far out in the deep. Some forced into cotton fields just to pick the seeds, something so hard to comprehend or even to believe. It took the Underground Railroad, which led some to liberation from bondage and segregation. But once free, in the end, there would be a huge celebration. Many of my people who had skin just like me created intentional inventions. People like George Washington Carver, Madam C.J. Walker, Alexander Miles, Granville T. Woods, and Elijah McCoy, just to name a few. And let me not forget to mention some monumental leaders, people like Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, Maya Angelou, as well as Malcolm X. I know historically, it seemed like all we knew was defeat and suffering. But if I didn't take a look back, I wouldn't be able to know where my people were coming from. And it was only a matter of time that our freedom would be buffering. This is just the surface. It truly is just the surface of what Black history means to me. Thank you.
Trying to forget. The hardest part of trying to forget is the remembering forgetting brings back. I thought you were like the things that have happened, things and thoughts I'd put away. But you are you, more than can just be put away. How frivolous of me to assume I could regard you as a thing or a thought. Trying to forget only makes me remember emotions we share in our spirit hearts. The delights and the anger so vital, our wildness making us quick to burn bridges behind us and ahead of us, changing compromise to submit, looking for happiness, finding regret. Sometimes you appear, it's in a song, a phrase, sometimes it's a laugh, sometimes it's a vision of you near to me, or a remembrance of a touch, a kiss, or some silly thought we shared. Times are, I wonder what went wrong. Maybe our impatience stopped us from taking the time to learn what we thought we already knew. Trying to forget only makes me remember you. When you left, I knew you had to go. Water came into my eyes, I cried, then I laughed. Because sometimes I just don't know. I wanted you to stay, but you weren't really here anyway. Or if you were, it was for just a while. I've run it through my mind and rerun it through my heart. I loved you more than I could say or show. Like I say, I loved you more, but that's something only I could know.
For a day like today, bright and shining, soca glory. Everyone with a flag and a smile on their face, bloody daddy of every creed and race.
Yes, the party starts down here at 5:15 40 Avenue, the University of Winnipeg on the 4.5 floor, Centennial Manitoba Hall. Come on down, look around, enjoy the song, because we are bound, we're badly. Man, the bouncing start anyhow. Last week, I Prince of Winner, Prince Simple, and Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who's here, but never here. Sometimes Princess Rachel, editorially, and otherwise Princess Catherine, fundamentally, love and kindness.
Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
By sharing that earlier today I spoke to Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota And that's after having texted with him and his Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan last week, pretty much immediately following the terrible tragedy that took place there. So when I had a chance to speak to Governor Walz today, first off, I let him know that we here in Manitoba support our neighbors. We want to be good neighbors here in the north. And of course, we just want to see what's happening down there stop. There's so much confusion and so much violence. We just want to see things for our southern neighbors get back to normal. And I offered solidarity that we can send down to our American friends and in many cases family. I know that the loss of a life, to see a mother killed in this fashion, is just terrible. It really pulls at the heartstrings. And we don't want to see these things like this happen. We want all this to end. And regardless of where you stand on immigration, regardless of where you stand on Trump, I think everyone agrees that seeing a mother have her life taken in such a way is just wrong. And so let's just find a way to help our American neighbors make it through this difficult period in that country so that we can get back to a more positive way of life. And I will be very clear for Manitobans, this is not something to be flippant about. And, you know, I think the Manitoba PCs will have some explaining to do on that front. But for the rest of us, for the average person here in Manitoba, the vast majority of Manitobans, I think now's maybe a good time to check in on your American friends and relatives. You know, there's so much going on, even just in the few weeks that we've had of this new year so far. Just offering that support, I can tell you, it meant a lot to Governor Walz to have our province reach out and offer support. I think if you could do the same to American friends and relatives, that would be greatly appreciated.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Welcome to the Blackers Cultural Center. And you know that we are located at 777 Bathurst Street. My name is Ita Sadu, and I'm the managing director of this incredible destination and space here in the city of Toronto in the province of Ontario. And today I'm talking numbers with you because I am talking about the relationship between an organization called BBI. Black Business Initiative, and their mandate is to make Black businesses stronger. When the Blackers Cultural Center started, and it was an organic evolution coming out of a bookstore called A Different Book List, there were many dreams, there was a vision, there was passion from the community. People said, yes, we want to see a cultural center. Yes, we want to see a hub. And so the bookstore organically gave birth to the Blackers Cultural Center and to also showcase the greatness of our legacy and history in the country. Oh, it was good. And with that came a board of directors and a governance and a nonprofit organization called the Blackers Cultural Center. But like everything else, there is always that little moment in a wrinkle, and that is the thing called money! Because money, it takes money to move the world and to get things done. Not only were we a new organization coming out of the mother's womb, but at the same time, we also had to build a new home and a permanent home for the organization, because you can't become a tenant for the rest of your life. And so the BBI came in to our imagination, into our experience, into our space. And through this SBCCI program, they were able to fund the Blackers Cultural Center. And they found our capacity building to help us with our fundraising, putting our financial systems in place. They even also too gave us funding so we could talk cybersecurity and get into the conversation.
Yeah, that was Ita Sadu giving you some of the history behind the emergence of the Black Cultural Center coming out of the womb of Third World Bookstore. Love and kindness. Here comes Lillian Allen talking about a bird poem. And we started with the phenom, I Rise. And just before that, we make sure and we start out the morning with some original music, crude singing from Innu people.
The Westman soccer and basketball team here at U of W. I listen to Fantastic Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM.
Love, wanna be free.
from stress.
Deep in the dark, no light, and I'm looking for a sign. Should I have left it all behind? And I know life really takes its slow. What is the point of it all? Yeah. So there goes my
me don't like it. And I wouldn't believe you. Because the spirit and the music kicks you up.
I learned a safety rule. I don't know who to thank. You got your corporations and federal banks. They send in army tanks. That ain't right. It's reality.
Good morning, Winnipeg. You're listening to my favorite radio show, Fantastic Fridays, every Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM.
Of Granny Nanny, an Akan woman, a woman who can see far, a woman with the knowledge of herbs, a woman who works in the field cutting cane, a woman who...
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action, take it to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and our uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
And a niece of Granny Nanny, an Akan woman, a woman who can see far, a woman with the knowledge of herbs, a woman who works in the field cutting cane, a woman who speaks the language of her grandmothers, a woman who tells stories of talking trees and of fabled cities beneath mighty rivers. A woman who was raped on the slave ship by sailors. A woman who flies to Africa when she sleeps. This woman, this niece of Granny Nanny, takes her cutlass and runs with the swiftness of Sogolon Kande in her guise as Buffalo Woman. This woman runs with her machete, an ancient chant rising from her throat, an ancient chant imploring God and all the spirits who attend women in childbirth to come to her aid. She says, form a circle around the dead woman. Breathe, give her breath, give her life. This woman, this niece of Granny Nanny, enters the circle with her cutlass, the ancient chant leaping from her lips, cuts open the belly of the dead woman, and releases the child. Praises to God, she said. The child lives. Oh, Onyame, take the spirit of the mother. In the midst of her misery and pain, in the midst of her humiliation and grief, in the midst of this inhumanity, the child lives. Whoa, our world is turned upside down. Day becomes night, and night becomes day, and the dead giving birth to the living.
I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
Anything not shock out, get washed out. Watch out the king, the boat, and the queen. I come out, patch out, they spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell on us, watch out. Adam Mercy. Adam Mercy. Watch me now. It me up. Murder me, wrote me, no take back me chat. Shuffle the date, me and the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call on me to over me, man, a fight. And that now one, no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, come with peer rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, my feet come back quick. Cause murder me wrote and me no take back me chat.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
But here it is. Yeah, man, listen, listen up, listen up.
Think you where you come from? As long as you're a black man,
a black woman, or a black child.
No mind your nationality. You have got the identity of
and propensity, yeah.
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland,
it really don't matter. Because coming to you all the way from the in West Africa, in the country called Nigeria, the brother so called Prince Ogoni, to tell you news that you're about man, for
you're an African.
Africa.
Yeah, our first piece is from Jim Cassie now. Respecting Malina Abdullah, co-founder of Black Lives Matter, Los Angeles. Another activist in Los Angeles who are demanding justice for Keith Porter Jr., an African American for 3-year-old father of two, who was fatally shot from off-duty ICE agent on New Year's Eve.
It's really important to understand that as people are righteously and rightfully enraged and mourning the murder of Renee Good, that we also lift up Keith Porter Jr. Keith Porter Jr. was a 43-year-old black father of two girls. On New Year's Eve, he was celebrating at his own home, and like thousands around the country, we understand that he may have stepped outside of his home and fired a celebratory shot in the air, which many, many people do, and which is widely acknowledged by city officials. His apartment complex is fairly large, and an ICE agent lived in that complex who went inside, put on his tactical gear, came back outside, and shot Keith Porter dead in front of his own home on New Year's Eve.
And Melina, the LAPD and the LA County District Attorney's Office have said they're investigating the incident. What do you know about their investigation? And of course, this could take quite a bit of time to resolve.
Yeah, what we know is nothing is happening, and the community has been told nothing. The family has been told nothing. There's not been a word uttered by the mayor of the city. Almost no elected official here has said anything. We know that we've been demanding the name of the ICE agent who killed Keith Porter. We've gotten nothing. We've demanded an arrest. An arrest has not been made. We've made demands of the district attorney that charges be filed. He basically said he doesn't intend to do anything. And so the community is going to have to mobilize. We've been mobilized since day one, but we're going to have to add increased pressure on our elected officials. We have an absolutely terrible chief of police, Jim McDonnell, who was collaborating with ICE when he was sheriff of the county, who is refusing to really do anything to honor Keith Porter. Instead, early reports, when they were asked for comment, early reports hailed the gunman, hailed the killer as a quote-unquote hero, and called the victim, who is Keith Porter — Keith Porter is a victim — called him a suspect and an active shooter. And so it's disgusting, and we have several demands that we're making, that the murderer who killed Keith Porter be named, arrested, and charged, as well as they stop with the character assassination of this black father, worker, loved by his community, and the only child of his mother. And so we're creating the pressure, because ultimately it's going to be the community that steps up for Keith Porter.
I'd like to bring in Shanae Tyler into the conversation as well, the cousin of Keith Porter Jr. Our deepest condolences on your cousin's killing. Could you tell us a little bit about him and how your family learned of what happened?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I want to say thank you to you guys, and thank you to Dr. Molina, because she just centered everything that we're asking for as a family. Keith was an amazing human being. He was a girl dad. I keep saying that because the most important thing to him was his children and his family. He loved on everyone around him. He was always the life of the room, you know, not just the party, but in any room. You know, when he walked in, he brought joy. He always had a laugh, a joke, a smile. He was the one that uplifted others, you know, and unfortunately, he's been stolen from us.
Our next piece is also from Democracy Now!, where award-winning Tunisian director Kauta Benhania, whose new Oscar-shortlisted film The Voice of Hind, Rajab, incorporates recordings of Rajab's emergency calls to depict responders' race against the clock attempt to save her, and the ultimate failure of the international community to prevent her violent death.
It started with the voice of Hind Rajab, obviously, because I heard a small extract on internet published at the time by the Red Crescent, Palestinian Red Crescent, during those 12 days, you know, of siege, when they had no news from their paramedic and from Hind, you know.
This was after they were killed.
Nobody knows. Yeah, after the paramedic killed, but then nobody knows, you know, what happened to her, but she was killed. But they have to wait 12 days. So when I heard her voice, you know, this is... I was in a period asking myself about what does it mean to tell stories when the unthinkable is happening, you know. I was glued to the news following what was happening in Gaza. And for me, it was very important to take this voice out of the social media busyness and forgetness and amnesia, and to put it in a cinematic form where people can sit and listen. Because when you hear her voice, you can't unhear it. At least for me, it haunted me, and I had this feeling of helplessness, and I thought, I hate it when I feel helpless. What can I do? I can do movies, you know. So I did this movie to honor her voice, but also to tell this incredible story of those heroes, you know, trying to save lives in impossible condition. You know, I did this choice to have actors because I needed to do this movie in the present tense, to go back when this moment when Hind was alive. And as you say, the ambulance was 8 minutes away, so it was possible to save her, you know. It's the access was denied. Those paramedics were killed. And I remember when I started working on this movie, everything was in the recording. It's a movie started with the sound, you know. So you have all the killing of Layan, the cousin, 15-year-old in the
she was one who first called the red press, and she was 15. What's astounding is that once she's killed with her family, little Hind is then describing everything she sees.
Exactly.
She's 6.
Yeah, exactly. She's not even 6, you know. She's younger than 6. And then we have in the recording the voice of Yusuf Zainu talking to Mahdi and saying, "Hear the ambulance, hear the car, here she is," you know. So he was meter away from the car, and then we hear the bombing.
I know what I'm referring to. For the last piece, we speak to Adzili and Kramer about the family's ordeal and Adzili's captivity in Gaza, where she was held in isolation alongside another Israeli woman by members of Hamas until November 2023.
I didn't know what had happened to him, and I didn't know what had happened to my two sons who were on the kibbutz. I have a daughter, my youngest, who wasn't on the kibbutz on that day, so I knew that at least she was alive. That was what kept me going during those days.
And talk about who held you.
I was held at first by a family for about 36 hours. They were the family of the person who took me from my house. He was a member of Hamas. I don't know what his family's politics were, but they treated me very well. I have to say that.
It was his mother?
Yeah, his mother and his sister. And after about 36 hours, I was transferred to a different place where at first there were about 10 Hamas people, and eventually I stayed with two men who were with me until I was released.
You and another hostage?
Me and another woman. Hostage, yes.
How did they treat you?
They told us from the beginning that we were very isolated, which is a little bit different than what most of the other hostages experienced, and we didn't see anybody other than each other. And they kept telling us that they had no idea what was going on with other hostages, and that it was their job to keep us safe and to keep us healthy until we were released in a hostage deal. And that's what they did.
Yeah, I mean, Liat and Aviv, they're relatives of mine. And when Aviv, her husband. And when we found out that Liat and Aviv were taken, we felt this responsibility to pick up our camera and start documenting what their family was going through. And as we started to film, you know, we were documenting Liat's father, who within days of Liat being released was very vocal, saying, "I don't want my daughter and son-in-law's captivity to be used as justification or weaponized to perpetuate violence against Palestinians in Gaza. I want the opposite. I want peace. I want reconciliation." And in that moment in time, that was not a story that was being told. The narrative was very different, and that's why we made the film.
And Liat, your message to the world 2 years later, your feelings today?
Well, it's very difficult speaking after watching parts of the film. The voice of Hind Rajab, really, it's so moving and touching. And I think that the most important thing that people remember is that there aren't any conflicts that are unsolvable. It's just a matter of people wanting to speak to each other and wanting to listen and to understand each other's stories, and that if we don't do that, we're just allowing violence to take over. And like my dad says in the film and in the parts that we saw, more violence and more killing aren't going to get us anywhere.
Yes, so those were all of our pieces from this morning. And you're still listening to Fantastic Friday on CKW95.9 FM. Right now we have Ibrahim on the line. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning, Mr. Ogana.
How are you today?
Yes, I'm fine. How are you guys?
We are doing well. We're wondering if you have any updates for us from Sudan.
Yeah, yes, I can give you a few things because there is everything is still the same in Sudan. Yes, war is still continuous, but something is new. Yeah, this, when I spoke with people on the ground in Sudan, they told me there's some kind of war reached in the area of the west north of Sudan, in closer with the border with the Tchad, and that was an area is Tinea and Kornoi. But that was was really intense, and that led some civilian people move to Tchad because of that war. That is fighting there, and that is of course the civilian dying and leaving them in their places and moving in the new places, and that is something new right now. But overall, the war is still the same in Sudan, especially in the two areas, Darfur and Kordofan. And yes, there is nothing new. It's still the same rabid forces and their frigates, and there is they're just fighting for the civilian people systematically. They're killing them, and now the people just of the gathering in the four areas. And I think I mentioned last night that especially people in Darfur, they gathering in the area of Tawila, that in the plateau of Manito, of the Jabal Marra, and that is protected with the Sudanese liberation led with Abdul Wahid. And that people, when they get there, they feel a little bit safe. But there is still people arriving there every day, and they're just needing the more basic need. And that is a problem right now over there because the people doesn't have the enough basic need like water or food or medication. And yes, people, children, they're sick. And now they also they need the clothes. And they're dealing with that every day because every time there is in the day there is many new arrivals and they're trying with dealing with that. And also the same thing in the area of Kordofan. Now the people just coming to the capital of Kuwait, and there's over a million people and just needing the help. And also they're moving some there in the area of Dabba, and the situation just increasing, and suffering of civilian people is just, it's not reducing, but all increasing, and that is really high. And now the majority of the organization is just dealing with that. But I think I mentioned last week, because the area which one control with the Sudanese and Darfurian troops, the organization is easy to move and to reach the people and give him some kind of help. And but in some areas, which one is controlled with the rabid forces, that it has very difficulty, and that is not easy. The civilian people who are remained there to get the kind of food or help. But anyhow, the organization, they are trying and they're negotiating, and many obstacles there, but being able to find some kind of thing to help them. That is the whole situation right now in Sudan.
Thank you, Ibrahim. As you mentioned, it's very important for folks over there to make sure they get the basic needs met in order to survive from day to day, needing food, shelter, clothing, warmth. Those are basic needs that come to mind, water. So it's essential. you know, so as to prevent starvation, to prevent diseases, malnutrition, and such. So, Ibrahim, thank you so much for your time today. And we'll
thank you, guys. Really, week. I appreciate it. And just appreciate you taking the civilian voice to get out and people to listen to them. And I hope one day things will improve. Yeah. And thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hello, Rico. What's this program all about? Come on, come on. Play some music.
Yeah, man, good, man. How's it going?
Idea is still, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the struggle continues.
Yes.
I mean, even with just daily food and things like that.
Yes, yes.
Even if you ain't fighting nobody, you're fighting life to get things in order.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on out there that you could tell me about?
Same thing as before. It's still Park Alley on the 29th. For High Road at the moment. We still have to come up with some other shows and stuff like that, which probably will be happening, but that's the one at the moment. So Park Alley at getting close to that Jubilee Bridge in that, what do you call it, the Fort Rouge thing? Yeah. So, and that is going to be, I still have to find out the time. I don't know if it's going to be at 7 o'clock or 7:30. Probably something like that until, it's only going to be, I think, like at 2 hours. Or something, because that's Park Alley, so they just it's a little bit quicker in there. So yeah,
yeah.
So.
We will. I almost sure that Fantastic Friday will try to put in an attendance to hear
mm-hmm.
and enjoy some of what the band have to offer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, just some more of the similar tunes, just that next year type of thing, eh? So yeah, I'm gonna try to expand it this year again. We just have to hit up some more place. As far we're still working on them same tunes because we have a different setup, I guess, for the drum mics and things like that. So we have a little bit more wider sound or fuller sound with the drums. I'm recording, even like I was talking to you before about I was recording some drum and thing before, drum set for the tracks. I'm kind of re-recording some things because we have a better sound, eh? So it's a lot of playing with those... lots of playing with those mixings and all that stuff like that, and with the mics and things. So I just record a lot of them drums again to try to have a better sound, you know, for the CD that's eventually working out and posting it on those platforms and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's been chief the amount of thing. And, yeah, until we get some more shows, that's the one that's happening at the moment. So not that much new in that sense. Yeah. Anyway, yes.
You hear the guy on the Missensi?
He's on the Slang Tang?
Yeah, Slang Tang.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember which one is that? Do you remember the name of the art of this one, the Slang Tang?
I can't remember.
So it goes.
I have about three of them that I play in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right now we have Wayne Smith on the air.
Oh, yeah, Wayne Smith is the one that's coming through, yeah.
He's
one of the originals, yeah?
It's the earlier, when it started going that way, the Casio. That's the Casio.
That rhythm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're going on again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, man. One love.
We're going to hook up again next Friday.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Love and kindness.
All right. Bless up. I'm going to put it in the bowl, come and know it knows why I'll.